Little news is not good news when it comes to running a public company. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, the CEO of a pharmaceutical company that's been much in the news over the last year. He's in the hospital today. J. Michael Pearson of Valeant Pharmaceuticals, the Canada-based company, says it is severe pneumonia, but beyond that, there's been little information, which is unnerving investors today. Shares had already fallen by half since the summer amid a number of public controversies there. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams joins me now live. Kimberly, what do we know about Mr. Pearson's status?
David, pretty much just what you said. Very little. We just know that it's severe pneumonia. And the company is citing privacy concerns, saying that they don't want to release more information out of respect for his family. And even when asked, the company did not specify whether or not this pneumonia is life-threatening. And you're right, this is going to make already nervous investors probably even more wary of the company.
Valeant now owns rights to so-called female Viagra. And beyond this acute situation with the CEO, let's review, Kimberly. Valeant is one of several drug companies that's been in the news this year for buying up other drugs, then raising the price.
Right, and those price hikes are actually being investigated at both the state and federal level here in the U.S. And then there was the other problem that Valeant had this year. One of its former partners, the mail-order pharmacy Philidor, had accusations of aggressive billing practices. Now, Valeant has severed ties with that company, is now looking to work with Walgreens to distribute some drugs, but that was another big publicity problem for them in 2015.
Now, how might the CEO's illness here play into all of this?
Because of all these problems we've just discussed, investors have been demanding a really clear path for the company moving forward to keep it profitable. And then back just a few weeks ago, the company cut its fourth quarter predictions and mentioned that its 2016 outlook is going to be way less rosy than Wall Street expected. And of course, this latest news about the CEO probably isn't going to help.
All right. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thank you very much. Now let's do the numbers. In Europe, the FT 100, in London specifically, is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. The dollar's down, with a euro just under $1.10. And here's a number. The new Star Wars movie has just grossed $1 billion. It did this in just 12 days, a new record just beating Jurassic World, which hit $1 billion in 13 days last summer, and Star Wars hasn't even opened in China yet. That happens a week from Saturday. Now, a homeless services agency recently bought a historic hotel in the center of Fort Bragg, California. This is a coastal town 3 hours north of San Francisco. This former hotel will provide mental health care and transitional housing for homeless people. Moves like these have sparked public outcries in communities across the country. In this case, the uproar is rooted in the local economy. From KQED, April Demboski reports.
Kevin Scanlon walks out of a coffee shop in Fort Bragg. One block to the left is the ocean. To the right is the new downtown commercial district.
You know, we're a tourist town now. Logging's done. Fishing's done.
Scanlon stops outside the historic Old Coast Hotel, a place he says is a threat to the new local tourism industry. That's because a homeless services agency recently moved in.
We didn't say we're against it. We said we're against it here.
Scanlon is a contractor. He and other opponents say the building should go to a thriving business, like a hotel.
That you could get bed tax.
Or a restaurant.
Get the food tax.
Just not a homeless services agency. But leaders of the Mendocino Coast Hospitality Center say they face pushback at every location they considered. Executive Director Anna Shaw says the opposition to the Old Coast Hotel has been the worst.
I think some people have a feeling that it's kind of too good for the homeless and the mentally ill.
In fact, opponents have put a measure on the June ballot asking voters to ban social services like these from downtown. The building is considered an architectural gem.
These are pressed tin walls.
Shaw shows me the rooms upstairs.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they're still like the hotel rooms.
There's layered window dressings.
With an iron headboard.
A marble fireplace.
The wainscoting. And let me
Shaw says when homeless people have a nice central place like this to stay, they do better.
I'm proud to walk in here.
Debbie Gibney got help here after she lost her job, then her home.
Because of the beauty of the building and the reception that we get here and the way the staff accepts us and loves us unconditionally.
Now Gibney helps other people who are homeless or who have mental illness. She says since they've moved into the hotel, clients have been more respectful and more relaxed. In Fort Bragg, California, I'm April Demboski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. And there it was, the first neighbor to throw out the Christmas tree, unsentimentally, if not ruthlessly, out on the curb by last Saturday. Could his poinsettias or poinsettias be next? There's a Marketplace angle here, which our Andy Euler got assigned, a briefing on the complicated business of raising and selling plants within such a limited sales window.
Sure, you feel all Christmassy when you put the poinsettias in your shopping cart at the store, but the truth is they don't make anyone a whole lot of money. Charlie Hall teaches horticulture at Texas A&M University.
I saw one mass merchandiser this winter selling for 99 cents. There's no way that the growers were making a profit.
The USDA says last year, poinsettias accounted for almost $250 million, mostly in November and December. But Hall says the sale isn't why they're still being planted. And it's not about holiday cheer either.
They're simply wanting to keep their workforce employed, and they're growing poinsettias so that they make some contribution to margin.
All right, economics aside, let's get down to business. Hall just said poinsettia. I say poinsettia. Mark Liberman, you're a linguist at the University of Pennsylvania. Who's right?
I say poinsettia myself, but that was just because that was how I learned it. If I said poinsettia, I'd feel perfectly comfortable going on talking that way.
So we're both wrong? I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And there's news of the primo new public restrooms in southwest Beijing, stalls with Wi-Fi, flat-screen TVs, also by the soap dispenser, and ATM. The New York Times is reporting the Chinese government plans to put in 57,000 public toilets like this. The moral of this story is clear. Three words, wash your hands. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.